who usually read for us. Okay, Brother Vivian, and then Brother Hartness also here. We are going to turn to the passage of Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 17. Our lesson tonight will be centered on the truth that is expressed in that passage. And of course, to supplement that passage also from Jesus' mouth, St. John 7:24. But let us hear the wise man Solomon first. 18:17, Proverbs. Read.
He that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and searcheth him.
Okay, read it again.
He that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and searcheth him.
The word search there really is better translated examine. The wise man Solomon is expressing a fact, a truth, that we'll be looking into tonight. And it relates to Jesus' teaching in John chapter 7, verse 24. John 7:24.
Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment.
Don't judge things according to how they appear. Look deeper into things. Don't judge things from the surface. Get your facts right. Another way, Proverbs 18, verse 17 can be translated, is one story is good till the other is told. One story is good till the other story is told. Last week's Sunday night, we had what I would call a practical lesson. Now, every lesson from God's word can be considered practical and ought to, because every lesson based on truth from God's word is applicable to life. The only thing, of course, is that there are some lessons you can apply them the very moment you step out the building. And it is for that reason I call lesson like that last week, Sunday night, practical. It is a lesson you do not have to wait for opportunity to make application of what was shared on the importance of visitation. You can start applying the truth from that lesson almost immediately. Well, tonight's lesson is along that same line. You will not have to wait for days or weeks to be confronted with some experience to apply this lesson. You can apply it tonight. You can apply it tomorrow when you go to work. You can apply it in the home tonight. You can apply it with your friends at school, at work, wherever. We titled tonight's discussion, First Impression Can Be Misleading and Deceptive. Somebody said, Brother Mitchell, say that again. Thanks for asking me. First impression can be deceptive and misleading. The truth stated in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 17, is applicable in our private lives. It is applicable in our public life. It is applicable in lawsuits. It is applicable in philosophy. It is applicable in theology. It is applicable in finance. It is applicable in romance. It is applicable everywhere. The truth that we have just read in Proverbs 18, 17. If we keep this truth shared with us by the wise man Solomon, if we keep this truth, this fact in mind, it will help us to be better and wiser people. And it will above all help us to be better Christians. How can what Solomon said help us to be better Christians? Because you're going to understand that Jesus Christ, not just Jesus Christ, Christ and his apostle going to be repeating this same principle. Not in the same word, but the very same principle. In almost any controversy, in almost any disagreement, in almost any conflict, the first to lodge his or her case, or to make complaint, usually always gain the sympathy of those who are inexperienced. Brother Mitchell, repeat that. Get it? In any controversy, in any conflict between two parties, the first person to lodge his or her complaint, the first person to lodge his or her case, usually always gain the sympathy of the inexperienced. Brother Mitchell, why the sympathy of the inexperienced? Because the experienced person has learned from life experience that there is another side to that story. That's right. But the inexperienced usually jump the gun. Read Solomon again, 18:17, because that's exactly what he's pointing out. Read it again.
He that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and searcheth him.
He that is first, the first person to bring his case to you, Notice what Solomon said. Seemeth just. Solomon said, didn't tell you that he's just. He appears just. But Solomon said, when you listen to the other side, that's what he called his what? The same verse.
Oh, but his neighbor.
His neighbor.
Cometh and search him.
Cometh and examine him. And show that what the person said at first wasn't the truth. But then if you are inexperienced, you passed judgment long ago. And in most cases, we listen to one side of a story and we form concrete opinion without ever listening to the other person. Are thinking that he has part or whole of the truth. That is, a lot of time we do not even think that the other person may have part of the truth or whole of the truth. May I right here point this out? Remember, some things are self-evident. Very important. I will have reason to bring this up again in the lesson. And I'm hoping that what I have prepared, I'll able to go through it for the time I have allotted myself tonight. As I've said, some truth are self-evident. If I have lost my watch inside this building and there were only two of us, and I use the telephone to call two or three of you and complain . You do not necessarily have to ask the other person if he stole the watch, if you had searched his pocket and found my watch in it. That tells you he stole the watch. Of course, there can be other ramifications. But I'm just illustrating that some things are self-evident. Remember this, very few human beings are honest, godly, objective, and truthful enough to relate truthfully and honestly both sides of any problem. Some people are. Most people are immature. Maturity doesn't have to do with age. Maturity has to do with outlook and what experience has done to a person. But a person can be 90, 100, and still immature. So I repeat, very few human beings are honest, godly, objective, and truthful enough to relate truthfully and honestly both sides of a contention, especially when they are involved. Mark you, your people who, they are going to make sure They tell you both sides because you are some honest people. So I'm not here saying nobody is honest. No, some people are honest. But you have majority of men and women tend to be too what we call subjective. They think only in terms of how the thing affects them. They don't think how to present honestly and truthfully and objectively any contention. They present it in a way to protect themselves. And that's where we find ourselves in a lot of problems, not only with man, but with God. Human beings are prejudiced by self-interest. I repeat that. Human beings, in general, while there's many specific cases where a person don't care how the truth will affect him or her, the person going to tell you the truth. There are people like that. And that's good. But human beings are made prejudiced by self-interest. In many cases, this is an intentional, or some people are unconscious of how prejudiced they are relating any contention. In fact, brothers and sisters, as Christians, what you as a child of God must always watch for is that you might be involved in something, might be a complaint about a person. You must make sure when you relate it, because in the first place, you might have been wrong in the first place. But here again, where you are going to duplicate your wrong in God's sight is when you relate it, you add something or take something from it or lie to make yourself look good. All this time, you are not conscious that the problem you are talking about is not just between you and the person who is not present to correct you or to show that you are not honest. You forget that God is involved. And a lot of time you are committing other sin in the sight of God by the prejudice that is developed because of your own interest. Proverbs 28 verse 11. Remember, the first passage was Proverbs 18, 17. This time, the wise man speak again in chapter 28 and verse 11.
The rich man is wise in his own conceit, but the poor that has understanding searcheth him out.
That's right. Solomon says you are not wise because you are rich. You are wise because you are conceited. But the poor man
that has understanding searcheth him out.
Examine him. The selfishness of human nature. Wait. Basically, as human beings, we are selfish people. Are we all there? And this is one of the important parts that Christ and Christianity play in our lives. Did you know that most, if not all, of our spiritual failure come because of selfishness? Brother Mitchell, repeat that. Did you know that it is as a result of putting self-interest before God's interest that we fail in different areas of our Christian life? selfishness. That's right. I refer to this book all the time, The Challenge of New Testament Ethics. I think one chapter deals with that. The selfishness of human being. I think in that chapter, the writer dealt a lot with how Jesus Christ was hard on the religious leaders of his time because they were so selfish. So I repeat, the selfishness of human nature usually inclines us to our own side are that of our friends and relatives. May I? when you are dealing with any contention, any discrepancy, any complaint involving friends or relatives, don't get involved because you want to present your friend or relative right. Get involved because you want to split the difference in a way that God wants you to split it. Many of us, we can't wait to be involved because my relative is involved. My son, my daughter, my husband, my wife. No, make sure, and here again, if you are immature, you are not even going to be able to examine whether you are objective or not. That's right. You just can't wait to get involved in the issue. And you'll be doing everything to make your friend or relative look good. You only commit sin in God's sight. You would have done yourself much more good if you had declined, if you had said to that friend or relative, John or Jane, ask another person, oh, please. You'd have saved yourself from committing sin in God's sight. In great many people, or rather, a great many people are fools and victims to first complain. When Solomon spoke from wisdom and experience. It was the same Solomon who was able to determine who was the true mother of the two women who brought a difficult complaint to him. Self-deception is another blinder or hindrance to truth and justice. Remember, the Almighty God has great interest in justice. Remember the lesson last week about learning to prioritize? Jesus Christ taught that when he pointed out about the weightier matter of the law, that even in God's business, even in Christianity, there are something more important than other things. It takes growth and knowledge of God's word to understand, so that when you are confronted, you are able to choose, if you have to. Self-deception, as I've said, is another blinder or hindrance to truth and justice. Many of us do not take time off to know ourselves and therefore misread our own position in applying judgment or opinion. Many of us, we are not in the position. We can't judge ourselves. We cannot sit one side and in our mind examine ourselves and say to ourselves, you know what? It's best for me to exclude myself from that. Brother Fisher, Eddie, say, Brother Fisher, well, we have Fisher here still. And the Fishers are great people. Dave, Fabian, and myself, we have great time when we do the radio program. Truly. I wish you could sometime make yourself invisible and hear us, the three of us, doing the radio program. And we had, when it was Eddie and myself, it was the same thing. And we appreciate Dave, not just his involvement, but his interest in it. You know, so Eddie can go on about in business. Yes. Eddie used to remember, and he brought it up many times, where there were cases, no more than once, but he remember a situation between two sisters here, and I was asked to get involved, and because one of the sisters was so involved in the work of the church, you know, that sister used to go and take the clothes of the elderly members and wash it, and she was so helpful. And I appreciate that. I see that as great work for Jesus Christ. So when the other person asked me to get involved, I thought about it, and I know that I can split the judgment, the justice. I can. But I said, you know what? I'm going to ask Brother Fisher to meet with these two sisters. And I think he did. I remember another case. I just came from the U.S. and hear of some situation at Elliston Road. That's where I left from to go to college. When I left, I was 22. And I think this time is when I came back and got married 2 years after. Just came for the summer. And there were some problems there. And it was just some men who permit the devil to lead them, just want to make Brother Walker's work difficult. And when I heard of it, there was one little aspect of something where I thought a wiser decision could have been made. And I went to the person and took the person up on that. It doesn't matter how good of friends we are. We must learn to weigh the situation and don't take side. If you take side with that which is right. That when the Almighty God examine it, he will see that you are right. You see, we can be right in our own eyes. In fact, that's the point we are on. That self-deception is a blinder and a hindrance that many of us do not take time off to know ourselves and therefore misread our own position in applying judgment or opinion. Many of us don't examine, can I? It's my son and the other person's son that is involved in this. I am asked to be involved. If it is my son, our grandson, our daughter, our grandson, that is wrong. Can I listen and be objective, be honest? That is what God expects of us. But in so many cases, many of us can't. And it is unfortunate when we involve some people in making the difference because they do not have what it takes. There are some times that we have axe to grind. We have chip on our shoulder. We have hidden agenda. All these play part. Why sometimes when those who are close to us are involved, we become blind to what is right from what is wrong. When we are involved, we become blind to what is true from what is not true. So self-deception is a blinder. But there is another blinder. Ignorance is another factor that blinds us. In many cases, we do not know all the factors or the circumstances in the case. And sometimes we do not care to know how to go about getting the truth or getting more facts. Do you know that is always important? Get more facts on the matter. Try to know what the truth is. You do not want to try to give your friends or family members right. No, you want to know what the truth is. That's what God expects of us. When we are calling to help with any disagreement, any situation. When it is otherwise, we commit sin. You know, a lot of times we make a person feel right when they are as wrong as Satan himself. So ignorance. Where sometimes we do not care to know how to go about getting the truth or getting more facts. Justice in almost all situations requires that you get the truth, or put it like this, that you do some investigation. That's true. We stand condemned in sin, ungodly, unchristlike, when we form opinion, pass judgment on faulty prejudice or incomplete information are one side of any issue. I need to repeat that. I'm summing up, but there are some passages we are going to read, at least a few of them. In God's sight, we usually stand condemned. In God's sight, we usually get involved in sin. Wait. When the Bible says that we must encourage Timothy not to become partakers of other people's sin, did you know from what the context revealed there, it has to do with Timothy not directly involved in what they do, but giving them right or accepting them as right when they were not right? So as I've said, we stand condemned. We are in sin. We stand ungodly in God's sight. We are unchristlike when we form opinion and we pass judgment on faulty prejudice, incomplete information, or when we take one side of the issue. Passing the right judgment, having the right opinion, and judging properly is important to God. In fact, it is very important to God. Let us look at a few passages, and the lesson will be yours. Proverbs, we start in the Old Testament. Proverbs 19, 15 through 20. Then Numbers 35, 30. Matthew 18, 16. John 8, 17. 1 Corinthians 13, 1. 1 Timothy 5, 19. Let us start at Deuteronomy 19, 15 through 20.
Proverbs.
Deuteronomy 1, 19, 15 through 20.
One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin, in any sin that he sinneth, at the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established.
Okay. One man shall not rise
up against a man for any iniquity.
Feel there is a need to drop this alarm. I come back to the point which I promise you I knew that when I said it, I would have reason to come back to it, that there are some things that are self-evident. That is, there are other factors other than the person's word to prove the point. So when it says, like, one witness, there should be something independent of the person's word to support the accusation or what? There should be something. And this must be kept in mind, that outside factor that is independent of the two persons involved, that outside factor might not be a personal witness, but it is also a witness. That my wife was found is a witness. If I have lost my wife. Okay, read the passage again.
One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin, in any sin that he sinneth, at the mouth of two witnesses or the mouth of three witnesses.
Everybody get that? What we're going to find interesting, this was given to the Israelite to make sure that there is some degree of justice, honesty, objectivity, rightness when any Israelite is called upon to get involved in issue between two people. What is interesting is how this truth trailed throughout the Bible. That's right. It is repeated many times in the New Testament. Read on a little further, brother.
Shall the matter be established? If a false witness rise up against any man to testify against him, that which is wrong, then both the men between whom the controversy is shall stand before the Lord, before the priests and the judges, which shall be in those days.
And the judges
shall make diligent inquisition.
Everybody get that? Everybody get that? The judges or the priests shall make what type of?
Diligent inquisition.
Diligent inquiry. Investigation. Very important, and many of us, we don't want to do that. If our friends or relatives are involved, we don't care about the truth. We just want to either prove ourselves right, or prove our friends right, or prove our son or daughter right, or whatever. But in those cases, we only commit more sin in God's sight. What verse are you, brother?
Verse 18.
Read on.
And behold, if the witness be a false witness, and shall testify falsely against his brother, then shall he do unto him as he had thought to have done unto his brother.
I like this verse because it shows the seriousness of falsehood. Let me move on because... you know, I could comment more, but Numbers 35:30. And then Matthew 18:16.
Numbers 35:30. Whoso killeth any person, the murderer shall be put to death by the mouth of witnesses.
By the mouth of?
Witnesses.
Witnesses.
But one witness shall not testify against any person.
Wait, you know, the Bible always calls for something outside of the person, independent of the person, to witness to what the person is saying. Matthew 18:16.
But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word.
This is Jesus Christ. This same Old Testament principle is now Christ is telling what should happen in the church. John 8:17.
It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true.
Jesus Christ here is repeating the same thing. What Jesus Christ is in effect saying, it is written in your law that when two persons testify against anything,
it's true.
You are more likely to have the truth. May I? You are the witness who testify against Jesus Christ. So human witness Well, let me back up. When the Bible talks about two or three witnesses, what the Almighty God was establishing is that you are more likely to get the truth when more than one person testify to it. The Almighty God, from he started the business of two or three witnesses in the Old Testament, he was not saying that in all cases you are going to guarantee to get the people telling the truth. But you are more likely to get the truth. To make sure that they condemn Jesus Christ, the Bible said they get some lewd, low-down person to make sure they have the more than one witness. But they lied on Jesus Christ. So we must always understand when the Bible states something. Rather, it is stating that which is absolutely so, or that which is likely to be so. That was John 8:17. Let me hear 1 Corinthians 13:1.
Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal.
2 Corinthians 13:1.
This is the third time I am coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established.
It's the same thing, you know. When you read what Paul has just said, it may sound isolated. Paul says, it's the third time I'm coming to you. And then he said, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. The same truth is expressed in 2 Timothy, I think 1 Timothy chapter 5. We won't worry, read this. Brothers and sisters, I close. At your workplace, in the home, in the church, on the street, among friends, relatives, strangers, in your neighborhood, you will be called upon to split the difference, to say this is wrong or this is right. As a child of God, make sure that your interest is the truth. Whenever you are called upon to be involved in any conflict, in any controversy between two people, make sure that your interest is the truth, that which is right in God's sight. Make sure your interest is not just to give friends, relatives, neighbors, and whoever the right. Because when you do that, you are committing sin in God's sight. Make sure that when you hear any complaint, always be wise to say to yourself, before you form opinion, I need to hear the other side. And may I? If you have interest in what this person brought you, take time off to hear the other side. If you do not have any interest, don't go forming opinion in what one person have said. Because that is not Christ-like.
We will turn to song number 2.